Hello and welcome to the Rembrandt Parables. I'm Tim Cooper. Have you ever heard the saying, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing? Well, that's a lesson Herbie's going to learn the hard way as we read the story today, Roscoe Crow Survival Gear. The moral of today's parable comes from Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. It is dangerous to have zeal without knowledge, and the one who acts hastily makes poor choices. One warm spring day, Herbie and Oscar went to the mall. Oscar rolled up to the automatic door opener button. "Watch this," he said. He pulled a metal rectangle from his side bag. From one end, he pulled an extender that looked like a walkie-talkie antenna. He smiled as he reached out and pushed the button. "Cool toy," noted Herbie. "What else does it do?" Oscar tossed the tool to Herbie, who dropped it. "Sorry," he said. "Don't worry, it's tough enough to survive you," replied Oscar. Herbie turned it over in his hand. It was the dimension of a credit card, but twice as thick. His eyes were immediately drawn to a bright red button. "What's this do?" he asked. Before Oscar could stop him, Herbie pressed the button. The siren that blasted was ear-piercing. Shoppers stopped in their tracks and stared at the red-faced duo. Oscar snatched it from Herbie's hand and turned it off. "So that's what it does," said Herbie. "Cool." "It also has a 90 lumens flashlight," explained Oscar. "It's held together with watch screws, see?" This time, he let Herbie look, but not touch. "Where did you get it?" marveled Herbie. "I made it," said Oscar. He laughed when Herbie's jaw dropped. "I go to an electronics workshop twice a week. It took me a year to figure out how to put this together." "You did this?" asked Herbie. "You act like it's some kind of miracle," said Oscar. "No, it's just that you think you know a guy, and then he blows your mind with some James Bond tech he built," said Herbie. "Since I've already blown your mind, the other one I built has a GPS tracker with remote door opener," said Oscar. "You have two of these?" asked Herbie. "I made the second one for one of my neighbors at the residence. I plan to make two more," said Oscar. "You're like a tech genius," said Herbie. "It's a lot of hard work. I have to hand machine the inside of the aluminum to make room for the wider components. It's pretty time consuming," explained Oscar. Herbie didn't hear a word that Oscar said. His head was swimming with delusions of business grandeur. "I'll build you a website. We'll list the components you can build, and people can custom order your gizmo. We'll make a ton of money, I promise. We can call it H&O Urban Survival. What do you think?" asked Herbie. "I think the siren damaged your brain," replied Oscar. "I'm serious. We could start a business. What do you say? I promise I'll build the best website you've ever seen. Please," begged Herbie. Oscar rolled his eyes. "Fine, I'll give it a try. As long as the website looks professional. I don't want something that looks like a toddler made it. But the name of the company is going to be Roscoe Crow Survival Gear." The full impact of his promise didn't hit Herbie until a few hours later. The truth was, he knew nothing about building a website. The only thing he knew about computers was how to write papers for university. Word processors were not particularly useful to him now. His brain froze with panic. He had to do something or he'd let Oscar down. In desperation, he approached Rembrandt. "You go online, right?" Herbie asked. "Doesn't everyone?" replied Rembrandt. "Do you ever wonder how websites get made?" asked Herbie. "They're assembled by the internet fairies. Everybody knows that," said Rembrandt. "They are?" asked Herbie. "Did you know the word gullible is spelled wrong in the dictionary?" asked Rembrandt. "What does that have to do with..." "Hey, I get it. Very funny," said Herbie. He scowled at Rembrandt. "Do you know or not?" Rembrandt laughed. "I have no idea." "What am I going to do? I promised to build Oscar a website for our business," moaned Herbie. "That is definitely a first world problem," said Rembrandt. "What does that mean?" asked Herbie. "It's nothing that would burden the brow of those with real problems," said Rembrandt. Herbie's shoulders dropped. "It doesn't make it any less stressful." "Well, sorry I can't help," said Rembrandt. "Don't worry about it. I'll figure out something," replied Herbie. He slumped at a table and wallowed in his coffee. He didn't even notice someone approach. "I couldn't help over here. I think I can be of service." Herbie looked up at the vaguely familiar face. "Aren't you Sketchy Dan?" Dan gave a slight bow. "One and the same." "How can you help me?" asked Herbie. "Why do you think they call me Sketchy? Design is my life." Herbie shrugged. "I guess that makes sense." "Tell me what you need," said Sketchy Dan. He sat down across from Herbie and listened intently. After half an hour, Herbie stopped to ask, "Wait, before we go any further, do you have any examples of your work?" Dan's smile was as wide as a crocodile.
"Dozens. Do you know Russian?"
"No," admitted Herbie.
"Perfect," said Dan.
For the next few weeks, Herbie had all but disappeared. It got so bad that Oscar got worried. After 2 days of searching, he eventually tracked down Herbie. "Is everything okay?" asked Oscar.
"Of course, why wouldn't it be?" replied Herbie.
Beads of sweat formed across his brow.
"I haven't seen you around lately," said Oscar.
Herbie forced a smile.
"I've been working on a surprise."
"A good surprise or a bad surprise?" asked Oscar suspiciously. At that, Herbie laughed nervously.
The best kind. I gotta get back to it."
Herbie left Oscar and rushed over to the restaurant. He found Butch alone in the office.
"No, you can't have Newfoundland holidays off with pay," said Butch,
never looking up from what he was doing.
"Butch, please, this is serious," pleaded Herbie.
"Ah, what's wrong now?"
"I blew it, big time," confessed Herbie.
"How big?" asked Butch.
$3,000 big," said Herbie.
Herbie now had Butch's undivided attention.
"What did you do?"
"I paid Sketchy Dan to build a website for Oscar's business," explained Herbie. Butch measured his response carefully. He didn't want to add insult to injury.
"You do realize he's called Sketchy for a reason."
"I thought that meant he was an artist," said Herbie.
"Oh, to be thwarted by etymology," said Butch.
"How could I be so stupid?" lamented Herbie. Butch leaned back in his chair.
"Look," he said, "you're a smart guy, mostly. Why don't you figure out this website for yourself?"
Herbie folded his hands in his lap.
"I thought I could use a shortcut," he said meekly.
"Did you stop to think that there's no shortcut for hard work?" asked Butch.
"Well, obviously not," said Herbie.
"Am I right to assume Dan ran off with the money?" asked Butch.
"Yep," said Herbie.
"That is an expensive lesson," said Butch.
"Very," admitted Herbie.
"Well, look at it this way," said Butch. "Since it costs so much, you might as well get your money's worth. Don't learn the lesson twice. You can't afford it."
Herbie's shoulders dropped.
"I wonder if they give out diplomas at the School of Hard Knocks."
Thank you for listening to the story, Roscoe Crowe Survival Gear. I hope it was a blessing. Please join us again in the future for another Rembrandt parable. And in the meantime, may you have a good day and God bless.